Hello and welcome to Books by Old Dead Guys, episode 75. Can you believe we've done 75 of these?
75.
Man, I feel old. That's incredible. I'm Scott.
And I'm David.
And we are walking through together a book by Thomas Brooks called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. David, catch us up to where we are.
Yeah, so the last couple of times we were moving through Remedies Against the Device of Satan, where Satan presents to us the dangers or the losses that accompany performing holy duties. And so a number of the things that Thomas Brooks talked about is, you stand to gain far more by doing those holy duties than you could ever hope to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And talked about, you know, considering the troubles that would come by not doing the holy duties that Satan is trying to convince you not to do. And so by those and a couple of other remedies, Thomas Brooks led us through why we should ignore this device of Satan. And so today we're starting a new device.
A whole new one.
Of the evil one. So Scott, why don't you take us away?
Yeah, that sounds great. Device 3. By presenting to the soul the difficulty of performing them, saith Satan, it is so hard and difficult a thing to pray as thou shouldst, and to wait on God as thou shouldst, and to walk with God as thou shouldst, and to be lively, warm, and active in the communion of saints as thou shouldst, and that you were better 10,000 times to neglect them than to meddle with them. And doubtless by this device Satan hath and doth keep off thousands from waiting on God and from giving to him that service that is due his name.
Mm. So we hear this device a lot. It's just too hard.
It's just too
hard to do the things that I'm supposed to do. Man, this device takes on so many different forms.
Boy, doesn't it?
You know, I hear, you know, I just can't understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really mean is,
It's hard to read,
and I don't want to put in the effort to read it. Absolutely. I don't want to put in the effort to try to understand it. I just want to open it up and it just fly off the page at me. And that's just not how it works.
Nope.
But it is hard. Or the other it is hard that I often hear is, well, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. Because holy duties are time consuming. That's part of what makes them hard. They take time in our lives and in our schedules.
Yep.
And so, man, I hear this so often. It's just hard.
Well,
it's just hard to do the things that I'm supposed to do.
And this is precisely why, if you're a member of our church, you have heard me say often, Christianity 101, the Christian life is
hard.
Hard. Yes.
Hard.
Shocker.
It is hard.
It is hard. All right. Let's see if Brooks agrees. Remedy 1, here's what we got. The first remedy against this device of Satan is to dwell more upon the necessity of the service and duty than on the difficulty that doth attend the duty. You should reason thus with your souls. O our souls, though such and such services be hard and difficult, yet they are exceeding necessary for the honor of God and the keeping up of his name in the world, and the keeping under of sin, and the strengthening of weak graces, and so the reviving of languishing comforts, and for the keeping clear and bright your blessed evidences, and for the scattering of your fears, and for the raising of your hopes, and for the gladdening of the hearts of the righteous, and stopping the mouths of unrighteous souls who are ready to take all advantages to blaspheme the name of God, and throw dirt and contempt upon his people and ways. Oh, never leave thinking on the necessity of this and that duty till your souls be lifted up far above all the difficulties that do attend religious duties.
Mm. Yes. So consider how necessary these things are.
Yep.
Consider how important it is for keeping sin in check. How necessary it is for the glory of God. How much it strengthens us, how much we need this. Consider our need of these holy duties.
Absolutely. Every valuable, even apart from the Christian life, every valuable thing in this world, everything in this world that is worth doing is hard.
Mm-hmm.
The worthless things are easy, right? A good marriage is hard.
Mm-hmm.
To the consistent discipline to raise good children is hard. The discipline necessary to keep your body in good physical condition? Hard. The diet necessary to be sure that when you get into your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s that you're actually able to function in a way that is God-honoring? Hard. Everything worth doing is hard. So it ought not be a surprise to us that the Christian life is
hard.
And so he says, remind ourselves of the necessity of this thing that exceeds the difficulty that it requires. Okay, remedy two. No, that's just one little paragraph. We got to keep going. The second remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider that the Lord Jesus will make his services easy to you by the sweet discovery of himself to your souls whilst you are in his service. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, as the prophet Isaiah saith, in Isaiah 64:5, if meeting with God, who is goodness itself, beauty itself, strength itself, glory itself, will not sweeten his service to thy soul, then nothing in heaven or earth will. Jacob's meeting with Rachel and enjoying of Rachel made his hard service to be easy and delightful to him. And will not the soul's enjoying of God and meeting with God render his service to be much more easy and delightful? Doubtless it will. The Lord will give that sweet assistance by his Spirit and grace, as shall make his service joyous and not grievous, a delight and not a burden, a heaven and not a hell to believing souls. The confidence of this divine assistance raised up Nehemiah's spirit far above all those difficulties and discouragements that did attend him in the work and service of the Lord, as you may see in Nehemiah 2:19-20. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab of the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then I answered them, and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no right, nor portion, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Our souls, while you are in the very service of the Lord, you shall find by experience that the God of heaven will prosper you and support you and encourage and strengthen you and carry you through the hardest service with the greatest sweetness and cheerfulness that can be." Mm. Remember this, that God will suit your strength to your work. And in the hardest service, you shall have the choicest assistance.
Mm.
Dude, that's a sentence right there.
That's a sentence right there. So his second remedy is, remember that God is with you. And if I could sum that up, man.
It's really good. Yes.
Remember absolutely. That God is with you, that you are doing this service so that you might experience the very presence of God, that you might, that surely doing this service to interact and interact with God himself.
Yep.
Surely that will be worth it.
Yeah.
And furthermore, it will make the effort joyous and, right. and beneficial and cheerful.
Yep. And I think sometimes we have this impression that God treats us like some, you know, uninvolved father.
Mm.
In other words, he gives us a task that is too heavy for us to bear. And then he sits in heaven and he folds his arms and he kind of leans back to see if we can perform it. And yet, there is nothing. I mean, I think of Ephesians 2, right? You are God's workmanship, prepared, to created for good works, which
he
has prepared beforehand, right? Like, it's not like he just goes, "Okay, David, I need you to go pastor this church, but I'm not going to be with you. I'm just going to watch you and see if you do it." That's just not how it works.
That's not it.
He's a good father and he is with us. He's given us his spirit. And so I love how Brooke says, basically, look, man, if the presence of the Lord and the strength of the Lord are not compelling reasons for you to do the duties of the Lord, I'm pretty sure I can't compel you. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. Is if the glory of Christ, the presence of Christ are not compelling reasons for you to serve Christ, then you'll never be compelled. And by the way, you may not be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the things that motivate Christian service, right? So then he reminds us that sentence at the end, man, God will suit your strength to your work. In other words, he will give you grace sufficient for the day.
Yes.
Of course you're tired. You're a grown-up. You know what grown-ups are? Tired, right? Of course it's hard. You know what? You know, that's how you know it's valuable. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but in those moments, the question is God sovereign and good? And will he give you strength sufficient for the day? Everything in his word says that he will. So you have got to make a choice. Either you take him at his word or you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not complicated. It's just hard.
Yeah.
All right.
It takes us right back to Exodus, right?
It really does.
The refrain of the Lord in the, you know, as we've moved through the book of Exodus, the refrain of the Lord constantly is, I am the Lord.
Yep.
I am going to be with you.
Yep. And this is going to be hard.
Yes.
You're going to walk up to Pharaoh and he's going to go, nope.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be harder.
But I'll still be the Lord.
Still there. Still with you.
And I'll still be with you.
And I want you to do it anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. I know, Moses, that you forgot all your Egyptian, but I am the Lord. I know, Moses, that you don't want to do this, but I am the Lord. Yeah. Like there's this the constant refrain back to what is Moses' responsibility in Exodus? To obey.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Christian responsibility now? To obey. That's the work. That is the work. The work is obedience.
Yes.
So, okay, remedy three. The third remedy against this device of Satan is to dwell upon the hard and difficult things that the Lord Jesus hath passed through for your temporal, spiritual, and eternal good. What a sea of blood, a sea of wrath, of sin, of sorrow, and misery did the Lord Jesus wade through for your internal and eternal good. Christ did not plead, this cross is too heavy for me to bear. This wrath is too great for me to lie under. This cup, which hath in it all the ingredients of divine displeasure, is too bitter for me to sup off. How much more to drink the very dregs of it? No, Christ stands not upon this. He pleads not the difficulty of the service, but resolutely and bravely wades through all, as the prophet Isaiah shows. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, says Isaiah 50, verse 6. Christ makes nothing of his Father's wrath, the burden of your sins, the malice of Satan, and the rage of the world, but sweetly and triumphantly passes through all. Ah, souls, if this consideration will not raise up your spirits above all the discouragements that you meet with to own Christ and his service, and to stick and cleave to Christ and his service, I'm afraid nothing will. A soul not stirred by this, not raised and lifted up by this, to be resolute and brave in the service of God, notwithstanding all dangers and difficulties, is a soul left of God to much blindness and hardness.
Mm. So the third remedy is that what Christ did for us was exceedingly more difficult, exceedingly harder than anything he has asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that the Christian life requires of us is not nearly as difficult as what Christ has already endured for us.
Yep.
That the cross that Christ bared is nothing. It is the cross that Christ bared compared to the crosses that we bear in our Christian life makes the crosses we bear look like nothing.
Light and momentary. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard a guy, I was years before, I had just become a Christian, and I heard somebody say something to the order of, and it stuck with me forever, that Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead on a Sunday morning to redeem us. And we are unwilling to get out of bed on a Sunday morning to be with the redeemed.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
that's it. It's too hard.
It's too hard.
That's the plea. It's too hard to get out of bed.
And in that, don't you just see the infinite patience of God? Like, how is that too hard? You know, but
to continue to give these people breath.
Yeah. Yeah. But you think about, I think about my own life, right? Like, it's not like we as pastors aren't exposed to duties that we also can neglect.
You know,
it's easier to love people who like you, for instance. It's easier to shepherd sheep that don't bite you.
Yes.
It's easier to get to know people who share similar hobbies and habits, who are more like you. You know, the hard work is in is in going after those people that don't like you, that aren't like you, that, you know, that probably never will like you. That's the hard work. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier for me to plan my day around going and seeing all the people that like me, you know, or spending time, you know, really encouraging and not, you know, it's easier for me to spend my Sunday morning in encouragement than it is in exhortation. But people need both encouragement and exhortation. Easier for me to preach a sermon that I know everybody's going to like.
Yeah.
Than it is for me to preach God's word in truth and say things that they don't like. But if I neglect those things, which I have done before, if I neglect those things, then I am neglecting holy duties. And I'm saying that the burden of the cross and the wrath that Christ took on for me is not worth my light and momentary affliction. And so when we fail to do that, you know, then we make a statement about who we really believe that Jesus Christ is and what we really believe shepherding is and what we really think of the sheep that we're, you know, that we're trying to tend. Like it, we make all these statements that we don't mean to, in the same sort of way that the Christian who chooses sleep over service is making a statement about what they believe about God. So we would do the same in pastoral ministry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's easy to do, man.
Yeah. And Jesus said, the world hated me, it will hate you as well.
It ought not be a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this world, you will have trouble.
Yep. But take heart.
For I have overcome the world.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So good. Well, that seems like a decent place to stop, huh?
All right.
We'll pick up the next remedy next time. Friends, thank you so much for listening today. It is a joy to work through this book a little bit at a time with you. We want to inspire Christians to love the Puritans. And if we can do that, well, then mission accomplished. If you have benefited from this and you know others that can or would you do us a favor? Share this with them. Have them find us. We're on all, hopefully now, Lord willing, we're on all of your favorite podcast medium. And so if you share this with somebody, we would greatly appreciate it. And until next time, we're thankful for you and we'll talk again soon.
Goodbye.